Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
About 3 years ago, before the days of COVID, I became acquainted with the hymn, Christ Be Our Light, the one that Richard mentioned. I was very, very happy that Richard embraced it and that we were able to use it in our worship, and I know that we'll be using it again. This is a relatively new hymn. Christ Be Our Light was written by an English hymn writer named Bernadette Farrell. It was written sometime in either the late 60s or early 1970s. It sometimes is known, it may have even been first introduced to me by an alternative title taken from the first words of the first verse, which is commonly how we often title hymns, Longing for Light. Now, I didn't really care too much for that as the title. I really like Christ Be Our Light better. But in the years that have come in between, when I first heard that hymn and now, with the advent of COVID becoming this unwelcome addition to our way of living, it seems to me that title, Longing for Light, seems appropriate as we begin another year, 2022, with COVID a reality. You can remember back to 2020 when it first came about, and we expected by 2022 that it would be in our past. And indeed, we have hope that by the end of the year it will. But right now, we might well find ourselves longing for light while we wait in darkness. The theme of light and dark is deeply entwined within our scriptures, within the whole of the Bible. It starts that way. In the beginning, the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, the first action of creation, God said, let there be light. In the reading for the day of Epiphany, January the 6th, from the Gospel of Matthew, the wise men, the Magi, observe at night in the dark a star rising. And it leads them to the Christ child, whom they present those gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I'm particularly appreciative of the fact that we did the whole five verses, because when you skip the fourth verse, you miss a significant part of Jesus coming. In our gospel reading for today, John has this wonderful and really amazing statement at the beginning of the gospel. Like nothing else in any of the gospels, he tells us, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. That phrase is echoed in our creed, the Nicene Creed. I know that that's a lengthier creed than some of the ones that we use, but it's very precise wording. Reminds us just how important it is that we understand exactly who Jesus is for us. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. In each of these cases, that there's that idea of light in the darkness. The darkness is still a reality, but there is the light of creation, the light of a star, the true light that is Jesus. There is this affirmation that comes from John's writing, inspired by God to remind us just how important it is to understand the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It's no coincidence that the church, in recognizing the need to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, chose this time of the year. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say when Jesus was born exactly. It's just simply not connected with the time of the year. But the church hit on these winter months. The celebration of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, comes very near the shortest day of the year. The day when darkness, night, is the longest. And then from that day, each day of daylight gets longer and longer, growing. It's kind of a symbolic way of reminding us about the light not being overcome by darkness. But if we take a clue from nature, then we'll be reminded that even though that is true, even though we've already passed the shortest day of the year, and from that point on all the days will get longer, there are days like today, a dreary day, clouds covering the sun like a thick darkness. We know that that's kind of a true thing throughout the year. There will be days in the spring like this, and even in the middle of summer, there will be these dark, dreary days. And those can serve as a reminder to us, too, that there are difficulties that we experience in life. There are hardships that we'll know. That's just the reality. And all along the way, on those kinds of days, we can find ourselves longing for light, waiting in the darkness. But what John tells us is that the light has come. The light has been there all along, even before creation itself. Some of you may have seen the recent news about the telescope that's been launched, the James Webb Space Telescope. He's very interested about all of that. This instrument goes up beyond the atmosphere of Earth into the darkness of space, and that's important for its functioning, apparently. And what the telescope does is it looks at light that's coming in. And the light is the light coming from the past. And the speculation is that it can look all the way, as some are saying, to the very beginning of things. That seems a little bit unusual to us, but one of the things that we remember from those of us who had the science in high school was that light travels at an incredibly fast rate, 186,000 miles per second, but that the distance of space is even more incredible. So much so that space is measured in light years, the amount of time that it takes light to travel in a year. Keeping in mind it's going at 186,000 miles per second. Those are incredible distances, almost beyond what we can wrap our head around. But those distances are there. And the thought is that this telescope can look and record those images that are coming at us from millions and even billions of years ago because of that vast distance of space. Now, one of the things that's true about our age that I find personally disturbing, because I had a science major in college, and that is the idea that somehow science will hurt our faith. One of the professors that I had in college, religion professor in one of the two religion courses I took in college, Dr. Maurice Luker at Emory and Henry, said, "If it is true, it is of God, because God is true." Well, maybe the scientists can look back at the beginning of creation and light itself. After all, we're told in Genesis that the first act of creation is light. But what John does is John tells us of a time before creation, a time before light itself. If you're reading that introduction to John's gospel, he gets to light, but not until verse 4. He's got something even before that. Before creation, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. So this wonderful telescope may look back to the beginning of time, to the beginning of light, but it can't look beyond that. It can't look beyond when time itself began, to a time when there was no time at all. That takes theology. And that's where we read the Gospel of John. John starts by telling us the Word. Now, you notice how in the reading, when that was on the screen, the word "Word" was capitalized. Now keeping in mind that capital letters are an invention of the Middle Ages, that they didn't exist before then. So that's kind of an interpretive device that translators use to say that this word stands out. This word is no ordinary word. This word is different. This word is significant. This word is inseparably connected to God the Father who creates, yet it is distinguished from God the Father of creation. In a way, that's part of the underlying background to our understanding of God as Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. John just uses the Word to help get us started with that. But it's a very complex term, and if the Word understood that way is a little bit difficult to understand, then he adds something to it. He adds life and light. Simply what John tells us is that the pre-existent Word was the instrument of creation, and thus life comes through that Word. But so also comes light. Not so much the light of creation, the physical light, but enlightenment, understanding, belief, faith. In other words, what I think John is saying is that this creative process of God, this conscious way that he begins the gospel like Genesis begins, it's not complete just with the physical creation of all of the things that we see in nature. It's not complete until it gets even beyond that to things like belief and understanding about God and what God's will is for all of this wonderful creation that we have. All of this is what we believe has happened in the birth of Jesus Christ, his coming into the world. And all that precedes it, all of that Old Testament history, all of the writings of the prophets and the Psalms, all of the law, all of that was to set the stage for Jesus to be born, the incarnate Son of God. This is why we want to understand exactly who Jesus is. This is why the Nicene Creed is this wonderful statement, because the language is so careful and so precise to help us to understand the nature of God. It's important for us to remember that we have life and that we have light because of Jesus Christ, because of the Word that was the means of creation. And because of that, we're here, we exist. But also because the Word sheds light in our lives. We understand that most particularly through the work, the teaching, and especially the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why we've gathered. This is the purpose of the church, to worship God through all of those seasons and those times when we hear again about the coming of Jesus into the world. We remember what Jesus did. We remember, as we get into Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent coming up in just a few months, we remember Jesus' road to Jerusalem and those events of Holy Week and the crucifixion, and then Easter when we celebrate the resurrection. Every year we have this opportunity to remind ourselves how this works and how we go through all of this, and then we spend this long period of time concentrating on the teaching of Jesus from what he says, what he does. That forms our worship in the church throughout the year. It's a yearly practice that we go through starting on January 1 in the calendar year. We hope that we learn from the process. We hope that we grow. Often think about things like that at the beginning of a new year. We kind of use it as a way to say, okay, here's a new opportunity. That's why people make New Year's resolutions. Of course, the point behind you making a resolution is not to give up on it in a couple of days. So if you've made a New Year's resolution to exercise more or to eat less or to read a book or something like that, follow through on it, or else it doesn't do you any good. It's a process. Just like in the church, we have this process of remembering who Jesus is, the light of the world, the hope, the peace, the love that Jesus shows. And we do that even when there are parts of our world that are still dark. Do you remember the wise men that were in that hymn that we did all those five verses about, they were not Christian. They were not Jewish. They were from somewhere else. Most biblical scholars think they were followers of a religion that was called Zoroastrianism. They studied the stars, the lights in the darkness. And they recognize a light that has come that guides them to Jesus. They come, they see Jesus, they worship Jesus. They kneel down and present their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. They had no background of the law. They didn't know any of that stuff from any of those prophets either. And yet they could see the light. And didn't one of the prophets tell us this? Isaiah said, "Darkness shall cover the earth, thick darkness. But the Lord, this light will arise on you, and glory will appear. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." But that promise from Isaiah chapter 60 is not something that we apply only to those three wise men. It applies to us. Because there are times when we still are in a place of darkness, thick darkness. There still are those in our world who choose to dwell in darkness, who will not believe in the light of God's goodness, who will not accept the idea of God's forgiveness of sins, who will not want to live in goodwill and peace, but who pursue selfish ends, who practice old prejudices and hide behind half-truths and even outright lies and petty politics because those things are convenient. And in our information technology-driven age, they can be persuasive. And yet the word has spoken. The light in the darkness has appeared. The word has acted. The word has created. The word gives light. So John writes, what has come into being was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you notice how all that's in the past tense? Did you catch what John does? It's like he has his own telescope, and he focuses that telescope, that theological telescope, back to even before the creation of light to tell us about the Word. But then in an instant, he turns and focuses the other way to look beyond creation itself, beyond when time is ended, when time is no more. And the light is still there. Because when it's all said and done, it was life that comes through Jesus Christ and light that comes through Jesus Christ. And even the thickest darkness cannot and never could overcome what God has done in Jesus. That is for us to remember as we start a new year, 2022. Oh, sure, the year ahead of us is going to have some dark spots. There's going to be some shadows. There are going to be times when you will find yourself walking through the shadow of death. Because there'll be times of fear and times of worry, times when you'll just want to hide. And maybe even hide in the darkness. But the light has shone. And it will never unshine. Christ is our light. And the prayer that we have is, Christ, be our light. Shine in the church. Shine on the people gathered today. So that we can reflect the light ourselves. And not just live in the light, but glory because the light shines through us. As the song says, there are those who despair. Christ be our light, and let us hear that living voice. There are those in need all around the world, close and far beyond, who need things like food and shelter and clean water. Our prayer is, Christ be our light, and let us work till all have been fed and all have what they need for life. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine in our church. And through our church to the world. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, shed your light, the brightness of your light on your church, on our church, so that we, being illuminated by the teaching of Scripture in the light of Christ, may walk in the light of your truth and proclaim the life and light that you have given the world through Christ, the Word, from the beginning. Amen.